Johnny, you got that.
Welcome to the Tell Me You Got That podcast, where there's no points and we make up stuff that doesn't matter. In today's pod, we're exploring the mind-bending adventure Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, starring Michelle Yeoh, Kwi Hui Kwan, Stephanie Hsu, and directed by my favorite Daniels, Daniel Kwan and Daniel Schneidhurt. If you've been living under a multi-dimensional rock, the story follows a middle-aged Chinese immigrant who's swept up into an insane adventure. Only alone can she save existence by exploring other universes and connecting with the lives she could have led. As always, I'm joined by my hosts,
Sam
and
Zach.
And we are here to give you a wild ride in today's podcast. So before we get going to our first segment, let's hear from the panel. What do we think of this one, Sam?
Yeah, really loved it. Equal parts as advertised. Comedy, action, and drama. Teared up a little bit at the end. Yeah, loved it. Thought it was probably the best movie I saw last year.
I have to agree with that. It sort of had this weird mix of sort of Indiana Jones, The Matrix, and sort of Inception, and all different types of sort of mind-bending films. Probably, yeah, my favourite movie I've watched this year.
It was surprising how well they did. I can't think of any other movie I've seen where they did both, like, where they did all of comedy. Like, it was genuinely funny, and I was laughing throughout. Like, the action was actually enjoyable. It was, like, stylized fun. The drama was, like, it actually had... I felt it was impactful at the end. So, like, to nail all those things in one movie, pretty impressive.
Yeah, it wasn't kind of multi-dimensional for the sake of it.
Yeah.
It was also telling a pretty heartfelt story about family and, you know, coming of age, I think.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like the, you know, a cornerstone of cinema is that story, but told well, you can tell it a million times and it's still impactful.
Yeah, and the fact that it's a just a family that owns a laundromat and they're the stars of this, like, this huge epic action adventure is kind of, I found that kind of cute and fun as well. Also, there was an interesting article I saw which was about Waymond as a character and how, like, it's kind of anti-toxic masculinity in that he never becomes this, like, there's the alpha Waymond who's all action hero, but our Waymond, he never changes his ways and he's like, he stays true to himself, and he doesn't really have an arc where he learns, like, that fighting is the way to succeed. Like, it's, he makes the protagonist see that fighting isn't the way. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good point. Zach, any final thoughts?
I thought it was fine. I'm not as big of a fan as everyone else seems to be. I thought they...
What was missing in your view?
Well, that's not what was missing. I think they tried to put too much in.
Yeah, okay.
Oh. They tried to do too much. And a lot of it worked, but then, I don't know, I think some of it was just a bit of a mess.
It was a long movie, right?
And it did take super long.
It took its time to get to the point.
Mm.
So it kind of maybe, if I had a criticism, I would say that it took too long to get going. I think the payoff of some of the early kind of drama elements does pay off at the end, though.
Yep.
So I'm sort of sitting on the fence around how long it is or how long it needs to be.
My second watch through, I was a bit more critical, and there was like a bit of a lull in the second act, maybe.
Mm.
Yeah, when they kind of didn't feel like maybe enough was happening to keep the pacing kind of fresh and fast paced. I didn't feel like the first time, maybe because I was just so wowed by all the kind of interesting things they were just throwing in. But yeah, I guess it does get a bit slow maybe at certain points. It is kind of funny also that the fact that I didn't realize until after that the whole thing takes place really inside just the tax office, like that's the whole, yeah, they never really branch out to other places, but it doesn't feel that way because they're dimensionally hopping and stuff, and it's so packed full of stuff. Yeah. They actually did do a lot of it very low budget. For example, the scene where Evelyn is being transported for the first time consciousness wise into an alternate version of herself. They don't use CGI and stuff. They actually have her on the chair and they pull her slowly with ropes, this is true, towards the closet, and then they just speed it up in post and, like, add a few minor effects to make it seem like, yeah, zipped her there.
Yeah, well, there you go. Tick for traditional cinema there.
Yeah.
You got that.
Sam's Would You Rather. So, Sam, can you give us your Would You Rather?
So, Would You Rather have sausage fingers and have to live with that, which maybe I'm thinking maybe you guys have also included in yours.
No.
I don't know.
It's the first thing that came to my mind, but I thought, no.
Too easy.
The other guys will probably do it.
Yeah.
So I thought...
I was counting on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, have sausage fingers and just live your life that way. Also, you're the only person in this reality who has sausage fingers, a rare condition. Or... Oof. To perform any job and to make any income You can't perform any jobs or roles that require, like, that would earn you money without the assistance of a raccoon Tui who would help.
So if you're in sales, you'd be having a guy who's sort of telling you what to say at the right time by pulling your hair.
Yeah.
Okay, so remember when I said I thought deeper about it? It went to the raccoon and that was it. So we're going to cross over a bit there, but
that's
okay.
That's fine. All right. I'm going to say the raccoon.
Yeah? What's your reasoning behind that?
I think the sausage fingers is pretty... Fingers are pretty critical to everyday life.
Mm.
And so being able to live your life fully... Imagine trying to canoe with... You know what I mean? Like, there's so many things you can't do with sausage fingers. So I feel like... Whereas if you are working... You know, that's only a small part. It's like 8 hours of your day, and the rest of the hours of your day is spent not needing a raccoon to do stuff.
Mm.
So you just endure. You know, you put your uniform on, and that uniform includes a raccoon for 8 hours, and then you're done, and you take your uniform and your raccoon off, and you know, you live the rest of your life.
And I like how, like, to illustrate it, you went to one of the most everyday tasks, canoeing. Which we all do every day.
Yeah. How do you get to work?
That's a good point, yeah. Didn't think about that.
Float my way down.
Canoe sitting outside. The only downside of the raccoon thing is you have a raccoon on your head. That was it.
Pretty much, and I'm realizing now,
it's
I
hidden,
guess.
Right?
Oh, I mean, knows. You would probably want to hide it because it'd be hard to explain, but if you've got sausage fingers, at least everyone can see that and they'd have an understanding. They'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, no, go.
Yeah, I'm choosing the raccoon every time.
Yeah. Are you thinking also maybe that it would actually take some of the effort of doing work out for you and you kind of could go on autopilot?
Yeah, good point.
You would be on autopilot, yeah, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're a vessel for the raccoon to actually live vicariously through you.
Yeah. You're kind of just, it's hitting the acupuncture nerves and...
Is it any raccoon or is it a raccoon that really wants to do that job?
It's one that really doesn't want to do the job, actually. It's,
so you have
does...
to, like, negotiate with the raccoon to, like, maneuver you for the role that you happen to be in.
Pretty much, yeah. You have to scratch its back and it scratches yours.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah.
Sick.
That's awesome.
In agreement?
Yeah. Like, I think I would end up using the sausage fingers just because I wouldn't have to do so much explaining to other people, like, what's going on. They'd be able to physically see it and they'd be like, oh, that's some sort of very rare, but also I can see that that deformity. I can see that you've got this challenge. So I'm not going to question things.
What career would you pick?
Maybe a noodle salesman. I could use my different fingers to show the different
types of noodles.
Types
so
of noodle
they're not sausage hands at all. They're different. Each finger is a different type of noodle.
I can display the rigidity of each noodle with my fingers much more accurately than I could with
the noodles are draped over each finger.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's not you're not having noodles for fingers
as fingers.
Yeah, because regular noodle salesmen would go door to door and they'd see the noodles draped over your, like, rigid bony fingers and they're like, oh, this isn't very appetizing. I don't want to think about this while I think about my food. But you see noodly sausage hands, like, oh, that goes well.
Much
that's good.
More appetizing. I'm getting hungry just thinking about it.
Exactly.
Tell me you got that.
This next one's called Inner Dimensional Warrior. In this segment, we're going to be discussing the version of ourselves that we would trigger in order to adopt that version's fighting skills that would help us in a certain situation. So we're going to discuss what would the trigger be and why are we choosing that particular trigger. Zach, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I thought it was a tough question because it's very situational and we don't have a situation, so it could...
So the situation is you're in a fight.
Yeah, but you know how many fights are in the movie and they always trigger something differently because it's useful in that moment. Like she channels the singer for lung capacity because there's gas around.
This is just a straight up, like, you're going to have a hand-to-hand combat fight.
Yeah. Good to know.
I hope that's what you prepared for.
Yeah, I mean, I did go for that because I thought I'd just keep it basic, huh? Oh, so what I did go was for a life or death situation, so assuming you're fighting to the death. I'm thinking I'd like to channel a version of me that was bitten by a rage-infected zombie, right? From 28 Days Later. So I can just fucking fully unleash the beast on whoever's trying to kill me and just tear them apart. So that's pretty good. That's one. I had another one, though.
So how do you fight? How does this improve your skills?
Oh, because you just become manic.
Okay, so you're willing to do a lot more.
No, you just... Rage fully takes over and you're not even thinking anymore. You're just fucking killing that guy.
And does, like, pain threshold come into it?
Oh, no.
No.
Not...
As in, you
do
don't...
Do those zombies in 28 Days Later look like they're in pain?
That's what I'm saying, though. That's what... Exactly. So you've got a higher threshold for pain, right?
Oh, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, okay. No pain.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay. So you can smash through windows and stuff.
I just go full berserk on whoever's fighting me.
Yeah.
They don't stand a chance. Someone that committed to killing you, you can't stop that.
That's cool. There's a fair bit of risk in that though, right? Because you could seriously damage yourself.
Yeah. That's all right.
Explain.
You're willing to take... You're just taking that risk, that's all. You're willing to take that risk to think you'd be fine.
I guess, also, if you have allies, what's to stop you from just going ape on them as well?
Yeah.
Didn't think about that, did you?
Well, we're talking about... Literally, you said a hand-to-hand combat with someone else.
Oh, yeah, but you could have your wife and family...
Yeah, but that's why... Okay, so that brings it back to being situational. You can't just throw in situations now and be like, actually...
But you're just channeling the skill, right? So that when Evelyn becomes the channels the skill of the singer, she doesn't become a singer. Yeah. She just gets the lung capacity skill. She's still herself.
Nobody else's consciousness takes over.
Mm. So it works.
I feel like it might not work though, because if you are going full rage, that's supposed to take over everything in your mind and you can't... Mm. That doesn't work with it if you... If it doesn't take over, I thought.
So you're talking yourself out of your chosen...
No, I'm standing by it. There could be innocent bystanders. Yeah. Depends on the situation.
Yeah.
As I said.
But if you're locked in a room with one person, then it's like the perfect one, right?
Yeah, it's fucking game over for that guy. I don't care what weapons he has. Dead. Torn limb from limb. I had another one
would
kind
you be
of the
ripping
opposite.
Them up? Would you be just before you finish?
Rip them up, yeah.
You rip them up with your mouth and stuff?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Just any means necessary.
Do you make use of the meat? Do you like...
No.
Do you just continue to feast?
That just rots in that room. Yeah. I leave that room and it rots. No one goes in there.
So you don't have the cannibal tendencies?
Nah. Do you ever see them eat in that movie? They don't.
In the deleted scenes, they eat a lot, actually. They show the
cast. 4 hours
room.
Of just deleted scenes. It's actually the cast just having their like lunch break.
They're all having... They shouted them steaks for every meal.
Yeah, I had another one on the kind of like opposite end of the spectrum, because I knew you guys were going to hate the rage one. So I thought also an arborist could be a good person to leverage their skills, like
natural choice,
their sweet like climbing abilities, because I thought that would be a good way to embrace my inner coward and hide from any fights, just like up in trees and other things such as that.
Yeah,
you could like cut down a tree precisely at the moment
onto
the pass, boom, onto them. Exactly.
Yeah, that's it's primarily like a defense thing, like I'm just hiding. But it does have offense capabilities too, as you've just pointed out. I didn't think about that.
That's good.
But yeah, you can lop down branches on people, kill them.
They got big, strong mitts too, because they're climbing. So like, you know, you got calloused hands.
Yeah.
They can really, you know, basically they're shields.
Spiky boots too. Yeah. So
spiky boots.
Your clothes are wet.
So if they kick you with cleats, you can catch that cleat in your hand really comfortably with your really durable
palms.
I'm
having a great time with that. Yeah, that's
you're,
great.
You're eating
so
that up.
If someone else is channeling their inner arborist... Mm-hmm. And they whack you with cleats, then you know your hands can deflect.
It's really
ultimate stalemate, really.
If you both channel the same profession, you just no one makes any progress. Mm-hmm. That's just how it works in that.
Well, first of all, they're running in the opposite direction, hiding up trees, and they're cutting trees down at each other. But if they both fall over into the ground, then it's a stalemate.
It's like a game of chess, really. Yeah. When you get two arborists fighting,
it is. Okay, so for a trigger, I didn't really get anywhere on this one.
You have somebody sneeze in your face for the first one?
No. As I was watching the movie, two words came to mind, and they were piss belt. I had to make that work. So you take your belt off, and you hold it between your legs, and you piss on your belt, and that's your trigger.
Because arborists are notorious for getting stuck up in trees.
Nah, because people don't piss on their belt usually.
And how's that connect to arborists?
Doesn't have to be. It's just got to be random.
So the version of you who was an arborist just developed a separate but tendency of peeing on their own belt.
They're not related.
Oh, they have to be related, otherwise you didn't.
That's not how the triggers work.
Yeah, it is.
It's just random shit.
It's stuff that connects to, like...
How does the paper cuts connect to whatever he's channeling at that point? How does eating chapstick connect to...
Like sometimes they explain it, sometimes they don't. Like it's when she got tickled by the feathers or whatever, like that was connected to the version of her who was like a dominatrix and had like whip skills or something.
But like, don't they say the whole point of it is just doing something so statistically unlikely? That's how they can do it somehow. Somehow that allows them to channel their mind.
I think it's. I thought it was twofold. Like it had to be.
I don't remember the part where it was related.
Maybe I misremembered.
But I didn't do one that relates to arborism.
Yeah.
I just pissed on my belt because it's unusual.
Sam.
So, my alternate set of skills that I summon is from a version of me who's like sturdy as hell. are basically immovable and can take a bunch of hits without flinching.
Is this a profession? I'm sturdy as hell for a living.
So the trigger is getting a really deep wedgie, and the version of me deviated
how
from...
How deep? Like centimeter? How many centimeters?
Oh, it has to like really cup taint to the point where its circulation is being blocked.
Yeah, and then to the point where you'd have to CGI it next
you'd
time.
Have to,
it's
yeah.
that messed up. You'd it's have that to, mashed.
If you wanted to look like you had a taint, prosthetics are not going to do it.
They won't cut it anymore. Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So what's the profession?
Well, okay, I'm getting
or,
to it.
Or the...
That's, yeah. The,
let the man speak.
No, I love the curiosity. So this version of
I'm
me
not
deviated...
curious, just so you know.
This version of me deviated from from my timeline in high school over a shipping accident. For context, we all know that when we start high school, your dad orders you a new batch of underwear.
Yeah.
Just as a, like a sentimental gift.
We all know that.
We know that.
You don't
yeah.
need to say it.
Wait, yeah. I didn't know that. Do you have to, are you allowed to wear them or do you like frame them?
Oh, you wear them. Yeah. Like you.
It's not just ornamental.
Yeah. It's to signify you're a big boy now, you're a big man. Your dad buys you.
Are they briefs, boxes?
Well, that's a whole traditional family thing. Each family does it differently, I assume. But mine were.
That's
were
where you can let your own expression come in.
Yeah, whether you do, you know what patterns you choose. That's all like a part of like you can get the family crest on them. I'm trying to if I can't continue the lineage, but if anybody in our family continues lineage, I'm hoping that we get them to go step ones.
That I would approve of.
Yeah, as we all know, that happens. For the viewer listeners at home, we all kind of looked off longingly, kind of fondly remembering the time when we first got our first batch of underwear from our dads.
Oh, yeah.
So they're basically like, witches and wizards get their wands from Ollivanders. Young men get their first adult underwear from their dads, is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But in this timeline, my dad in this timeline accidentally orders fluoro pink ones instead of a more beige pair, a safer color. For me, it was no problem. But one day, my underwear is slightly showing and it triggers the toxic masculinity of a bully who approaches me and wedges the hell out of me. So it was a really kind of like impactful moment for me. This was a turning point in my life as it was both full of embarrassment but also intense sexual pleasure. It awoken within me a love of having my taint tightly swaddled by fabric. So I became really into this new sensation, but for years I felt like I couldn't openly express it, which was the issue, until I found the world of sumo wrestling, which really kind of like what got me like invested, because I could see people accepted publicly for strangling their taints with cloth being cheered on. And so I dedicated my life to becoming a professional sumo wrestler, got really sturdy as hell, and the rest is history.
So you're just rock hard the whole time you're fighting?
Pretty much, yeah.
Because you love it.
And I love it.
Does that get in the way of your fighting ability?
Not really. The adrenaline is super high.
So in the scenario where you're channeling this fighting ability, are you fighting as like a sumo wrestler? So you're literally just throwing your body weight around.
Just grappling.
Making sure that if there's a circle there, they're instantly out of that circle.
Pretty much, yeah.
You actually stop the fight and say, I gotta draw a circle, give me a minute.
Give me one, otherwise we won't know how we won, who was a winner, and they're like, we're fighting to the death. And like, I'd still like a circle.
You still need a circle.
Yeah, pretty much. And like really the whole becoming a pro, incredible sumo wrestler was secondary for me to being able to just strangle my tape.
Glad we went there. Okay, so mine was slightly more traditional. So I've got two scenarios. First one is the trigger is I take a jigsaw piece, I swish it around in my mouth, and I say, I'm a big boy. And what it channels is there's a version of me where the physiological makeup of the body is changed. You're still a human being, but you can dissemble yourself in the shape of a jigsaw.
Ooh.
So the way I would leverage this power is I would basically, when attacked, put the jigsaw piece in my mouth, say I'm a big boy, fall into pieces, the enemy would approach, investigate, and I would reassemble and trap them inside the pieces and slice them up.
Nice. a more traditional approach, as you said.
So that's the standard one. Give us the out there stuff.
So, and the other one I had that's a bit more out there is I have to go into a music shop, I have to say territorial pissings, and then smash guitar, then basically channel the Kurt Cobain version of myself. I get incredibly talented with like fighting using musical instruments, particularly guitars.
Tell me you got that.
It's time for the next segment, and the next segment is my Would You Rather. So it is a hot dog related one, unfortunately.
Nice.
Sausage fingers one. Would you rather eat nothing but sausages made out of human fingers,
oof,
or have sausage fingers for your whole life. And in this scenario, yes, the world, the rest of the world has normal human fingers.
What I want to know is how much of your nutritional needs are met by these
bones. Oh, 100%. Your body is adapted and it's the prime.
So it is actual fingers. They don't taste like hot dogs or anything.
No.
Oh, they're human fingers.
They're human fingers. You're eating human fingers.
Not sausagey ones.
No. But you would...
sausagey?
Yeah, so they don't know. They taste like human fingers, but they give you this... And you've got a supplier who can give you those human fingers. Yeah. And they're from people that, like, don't matter. Like, they shouldn't have even been around.
Yeah, okay.
They're just normal fingers. You can cook them in any way you want?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Fry them up.
And you can crumb them? Yeah, make them look the not bones. Like fingers so much?
The bones as well?
Yeah. You don't have to do anything, but you can eat the bones.
Okay. Yeah.
Can.
So I don't have to.
No.
You have to eat all the flesh. All and the flesh. Fingernail?
Oh.
If you want.
So you don't have to.
So some people consider it a delicacy.
As much or as little, so you can, is fine?
Yeah.
And oh, right. It's just, that's all you have to live on.
Yeah.
Oh, right. You don't have to eat it. Oh, yeah.
But okay. How steady and consistent is the supply? Do you always have plenty?
It's fine. There's plenty of people that shouldn't be around. So it's fine.
And
then
plenty of fingers for it. Yeah. And what, you've got sausage fingers, you're the only one in the world. That's the alternative, is it?
Yeah, the only one in the world with sausage fingers.
Again, you can't go canoeing.
I kind of need to be able to canoe.
Just writes that one off straight away.
Otherwise, it just kind of impacts so many areas of life.
But I also don't want to eat human fingers. Not canoeing, is my only source of sustenance.
I'd be okay with that, I think. I choose eating the fingers, I think.
Actually, I'm going to choose sausage fingers because you can make a living out of that. Just because of what it is.
Yeah.
And the noodles.
You could do
that. That's true.
The earlier segment.
So your main hustle is like, I don't know, maybe you...
You kind of have to be a noodle salesman.
You make a sideshow out of yourself. But also on the side, you sell noodles. Because that works. We know that works.
Imagine having an OnlyFans account with noodle fingers.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a winner.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of creeps.
I reckon there's all the money. Plenty of ways you can make money just because you're the only one that has sausage fingers or hot dog hands.
You pretty much be on Alan DeGeneres' show every week.
Just that.
Just giving updates on how life's going.
Yeah, I'm still the only one. No one else like me. I'm looking. I'd take that. I'm taking that.
I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want to be famous for that. I think I just.
But
want
you'd
to
be famous for the guy that eats only fingers instead.
Yeah,
only if you broadcast that. Yeah. You can hide that.
Hard not to though. Like, I mean, not that hard, but like, you'd be like, at some point, your friends would be like, "How come I never see you eat anything?"
And how come the things that you eat always look like human fingers?
Well, you know, what you can do is get all the flesh off, turn it into like a stew or something. Yeah, no one, you can't add shit to it, right?
No.
You can't
spices and stuff.
Really?
Oh, you can add spices is fine.
Yeah, but that's it.
So
that's
it. Spices.
You can't, nothing of real nutrition.
But you can grind it up into like little meatballs and cook that.
Can you crumb them?
No.
No sauces either.
You can have sauces.
Oh, okay.
Condiments. Condiments and spices are fine.
Okay. Yeah, fingers all the way. Easy. Eating them up. And then you could say every meal was finger looking good. So,
And then people don't really get why you say that all the time. Yeah, that's funny.
Your life would become like Hannibal Lecter, where how he just loves he gets off on feeding people like the meat that he gets from human beings in like down or whatever.
Yeah. Do you cook for people? Do you host? Do you entertain?
It's up to you.
Can you cook?
I'm asking Sam in your version. Do you do that?
Yeah.
Can you feed people your fingers?
That's the thing. I need to know, am I allowed to cook food that's not fingers for other people's consumption?
Yeah, absolutely.
As long as you don't taste it. You don't even, doesn't even touch your lips.
I mean, I would cook if I'd probably want them to consent to it and be aware, I guess, because...
Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't want them to get mad human disease.
Yeah, I wouldn't feed my fingers to my friends.
What's the penalty if I accidentally eat something?
Yeah, just fucking blow, huge cardiac arrest, heart just explodes inside.
So it's not even just like... anaphylaxis or anything, like I can't learn from it.
Look, let's say that for every piece of food that you eat, you need to eat like 100 fingers to not die, to reverse the effects of diet.
Oh,
you could be like, somebody can try something, you'd be like, you know what, yes I do, and then immediately you've got an hour to eat 100 fingers.
Okay.
An hour.
You don't eat it?
Yeah. I can go out on meals with friends, but only eat one little piece of little morsel, and also have to have a conspicuous cooler full of ambiguous meat.
You have to excuse yourself, go to the bathroom for like an hour.
Why are you bringing that in there?
If think about how much meat is on a finger, like 100 fingers worth of meat is probably a small bag.
No, it's a fair bit, I'd think.
There's not that much meat on these bad boys.
It's pretty lean meat, finger meat.
No, I don't know, it'd add up, it'd stack up.
Tell me you got that. The next segment is called Alternative Evolution. In the film, there was a dimension where humans evolved to have sausage fingers. I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it.
Describe an alternative dimension where humans evolved differently in some kind of a way. And why would you be interested in visiting this place / seeing them? Who wants to go first?
I want to go to one where at some point in the human timeline where we exist as humans, but a freak virus appears which kills off every animal except for human beings, so that all that's left are just humans and plants. So naturally everyone's just becomes all vegan and it eats a vegan diet. There are no natural predators for human beings, and so we evolved to become very trusting of one another and just the world, so because we don't have to fight for our lives. It's just an easy breezy existence. We end up founding a civilization based on trust and respect for each other. Lying and deceit do not exist because they were never necessary. I'd like to visit this dimension so that I can basically be Ricky Gervais from The Invention of Lying and basically just tell people, like go to bank tellers and tell them I'd like to withdraw $1 million and they don't question it. They assume, take me at my word.
So you just want to be a real scumbag.
Basically, yeah.
Just take advantage of this civilization. This
poor people.
Exactly.
This amazing place.
Yeah. Be scum of the earth.
They deserve it.
Pretty much.
I think.
They need someone to wake them up.
Yeah. Ben, do you have a version of this?
Yeah, I got one. Gross. Mine is basically the evolution that happens is humans don't have stomachs.
Oh, yeah.
Your turn, Hayden. No, I got more. They don't eat.
Oh!
Because they don't have stomachs. They get all their sustenance from the sun like good old plants.
Oh, there's a thread here, thread.
And you would ask, how the fuck did that happen? Well, I got a little story for you
And what's
you
that
guys.
Going on in there?
Okay. Do they lay on their backs and go photosynthesis? Like on SpongeBob?
Fuck, I should have done that, huh?
Yeah. Sorry, go.
From underwater they're doing that?
Yeah.
Seaweed.
That's
phytoplankton, dumb fucking Einstein.
All right, so here we go. This is how it all shook out. So what happened is one family had this horrific mutation of no stomach, but also luckily another mutation, which also occurred at the same time in the same family, allowed them to suck in nutrients from the sun.
Oh, I think you better say they were super sexy, and so like their genes spread.
How does that keep them alive?
They just have to survive long enough to pass their seed along.
Yeah.
Lucky they're super sexy.
Their lifespan, like they age incredibly rapidly. They're 50 by the end of the day.
All they got to do is have sex once before they starve to death. Anyway, they weren't particularly strong in this first iteration because, you know, they didn't get much from the sun, just a little bit.
Mm.
But in fact, they were so, so weak. But luckily, they were isolated from the rest of humans and remained that way for thousands of years. But over time, they adapted and became stronger, despite the lack of stomach. Then a plague swept the globe and wiped out most of the Earth's crops. So they didn't have such a good crop that year. A lot of the crops just got wiped out. So this killed millions of stomachies. So then the sun folk thrived in the aftermath and spread far and wide, culminating in a final war between the sun-fed and the grain-fed. The sun folk had centuries without food.
Were the numbers equal, like, before this battle? Like
roughly equal at this time of the battle. It was like the last bit of humanity left.
Yeah.
And the sunnies are
stomachies.
Are weak.
No, they got strong over centuries.
Oh.
I said that.
What was the motivation to go to war?
They were just a threat. Yeah, I've got more to say. I'll carry on. The sun folk had centuries without food, so they got used to it. They got good at sucking in nutrients from the sun. They got strong.
Mm.
While the others knew nothing else. So it was a decisive victory. It was a bloodbath.
Yeah. Knew nothing else, as in they could have learned how to just...
But, well, they only... Without food, that's what
they're done.
They don't have any other way to eat.
Freaking stomachies.
All their crops just fucking died. And they're like, oh, we're so fucking weak now. Anyway. It was a decisive victory, and human stomachs were wiped out once and for all. So I'd want to visit just to see if I could get away with it. You know, I'd be stuffing in food and drink every time they're not looking.
Yeah, that's good.
Stuffing in food and drink, and then it'd just be a rush.
You look exactly the same as the...
Oh, you look the same. It's just So they don't know I don't have a stomach.
Yeah.
I do have a stomach. Yeah. So they don't know I do have a stomach. They don't have it.
Where would all... So you'd just be harvesting food from the, like, the leftover crops from the stomachies?
I'd bring it with me.
You'd bring it with you?
Yeah.
It's like bring a Mac bag of...
It's like a travel. I'm not going there forever. It's just like 2 weeks. I'll bring two weeks of food with me.
Yeah.
And then just try to not get found out as having a stomach. And like they kill on sight.
Okay.
They hate stomachies now.
Even though they've clearly got complete domination.
Yeah. Them. Well, they're like, well, don't give them a chance.
Yeah.
Because they can rebuild, repopulate.
They think you guys, us stomachies, can asexually reproduce and just pop out a bunch of us.
You know, you just need a couple. They know they just need a couple. If I meet up with a few, we could repopulate. But so that's why they would kill me on sight.
And interbreeding can't happen where you can get the best of both worlds and become this super sun grain race.
They're really against it. You probably could.
Yeah.
It probably would be the best for everyone, wouldn't it? But no, they're not having a bar of that.
God.
Yeah.
And it makes me so mad when I think of how they didn't have to kill all those stomachies.
They didn't. They're just so stupid.
Are they most... I want to know also, important, how many of them are left-handed? Is that the same ratio as stomachies? Or?
Yeah, that hasn't really changed.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
They so do... It's like, still like 25%.
They do. They put their lefties higher up, though.
Oh, okay.
They give them cushy jobs.
Are they like higher, like... on like taller terrain,
physically so higher place. And like like social standing,
so they get the freshest sun.
Yeah,
exactly. They get the, and it's just used up sun gets down to the next levels that, and they're like, oh god.
And can they live off indirect sunlight? Can they be indoors and eat like sun through
not
glass?
Really.
Here's mine. So you know there's a theory called canonization in evolution. We've seen multiple strands of evolution have started and ended in the creation of a crab-like type of thing. So it's like started as a microbe and there's been like 10 different microbes and they've all evolved into a crab. So that's called carnalization. It's that process, right? So in my scenario, humans have evolved and they've taken on that part, but they've evolved to have crab claws. Basically, the reason why I'm interested in seeing this really is because the risk that comes into everyday world. Think about it, like all the different scenarios, like having porcelain cups and irrelevant. You can't use them. You have to throw away this whole concept of porcelain.
I can't live without my porcelain.
Try to write with a pen. Forget about it. Butter in your toast. Nah, not, no way. And the main problem is you're just really afraid of how good your claws would taste if you cook them. So the whole time you're thinking about it, you just like look at your claws and you're like...
Would they know how good they taste in that?
They know.
Because maybe our hands taste delicious, but we don't really know because people don't go around eating each other's hands unless they're not meant to be around.
What I'm saying is, we were humans, and a part of our evolution made us evolve to crab claws.
So we remember the fine taste of crab.
Yeah,
meat.
We do.
So like regular crabs still exist or not?
Yeah.
So we know. That's why we know.
Do we feel more connected with regular crabs?
We identify with their struggle. Whenever you see a crab trying to pick up a porcelain cup,
we still eat them as quick as we see them.
Yeah, it's like we can find cows very cute, but we still eat them.
Yeah,
so
nice. Do we still have the same lifespan? We still live as long?
Absolutely.
We don't have like enhanced crustacean.
No, but the thing is though, we're much quicker to go to war because we get frustrated really quickly because our fine motor skills are gone, and so we get frustrated and then we take it out on each other. So we become much more warlike as a race.
And crabs are just generally very warlike
too. They are. They're very territorial.
Yeah.
Early on, all the crab hand humans were just eating their own corpse. So they were no threat because they'd just kill themselves.
Yeah.
Or remove their advantage, which was their claws. But as soon as a crab race learned to just resist the urge to eat their own claws, that's when they get the problem.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
But once we learned to be able to use porcelain cups...
Oh, yeah. Two major turning points in human evolution. Discovery of fire, and then a little while after that, discovery of porcelain. And that's really where we became the apex predators.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Tell me you got that. Next segment, fellas, is Zach's Would You Rather.
All right, thanks, Hayden.
Here we go.
Would you rather have the Raccoonie situation going on?
Oh, yeah.
So you're a very good chef. It's just for chefing.
Oh.
You're a very good chef because of this guy, and are an absolute celebrity, like higher up than Gordon Ramsay or Jamie Oliver, whoever else is big. You're the top of the top.
Pinnacle, yeah.
But the raccoon shits down the back of your hair and neck just because he loves to mess you up, and you can't like clean it or anything. The raccoon itself cleans it once a week.
Once. So are they like sticky? Like they stick on your back, or just they dribble down?
It stays there. It goes, depends on how liquidy it happens to be that day. So it can go as far back as your lower back.
So yeah. Can you have showers and wash up the rest of your body? Just you have to avoid cleaning that specific area.
Yeah, no, you have to put a bag over your head and neck. Yeah.
What happens if you don't?
You die. Massive cardiac arrest. Heart explodes.
You know the story.
You probably wouldn't shower. Like, it wouldn't be worth risking that then.
Yeah.
So, no, but if you've got the bag on, and it's fine. Nothing's going to get in there.
Okay, you've got a custom bag. It's
custom bag. Foolproof. If that's on and it's unsecured properly, you're fine. You can't just...
And it's pretty hard to mess that up, right? Real easy.
Your heart can't explode if you put it on properly. That's fine. Okay. That's fine.
So the raccoon doesn't clean your whole body, just cleans the part
that itches. Cleans the hair.
Okay.
And you can have a full body shower that day, like right after he does it as well.
So it just covers your head.
Mm. So it doesn't dribble down your back.
So if
it can.
But you can clean that, right? Because
you can clean, it's from like the top, like the mid part of your top shoulders.
Yeah.
And above, you cannot clean.
Oh, okay, so if it dribbles, your territory that you're allowed to clean is the neck below.
Yeah, but like later that day, you can't do it while you're at work.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well, it's a little bit below the neck. Not right below, there's a little area where you have to leave nape. Dirty.
So
below the nape, but then also you feel the spine. There's a little bit of the spine area you have to leave soiled.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that's one scenario.
That's one. I'm glad we covered that one pretty thoroughly. Or you're forced to do some guy's taxes for 5 hours every day of the week. There's no weekends. You get $1,000 a week, and you're not allowed to earn any other money any other way.
So 5 hours of work a week.
A day.
Okay.
Wait,
you get $1,000 a week.
$1,000 a week.
Yeah.
Tax before or after tax?
That's before tax.
Oh, so that's pretty low. It's $4,000 a...
Yeah, it's not good.
$4,000 a month.
It's livable.
It's livable.
It's not great.
And you can never have any other job ever.
No other sources of income.
And your hours will never change.
Does it change with inflation? So
Cost of living adjustments happen.
So you'll never be amazing though. You'll never be like rolling.
Nah, there's no possibility for upward movement, mobility. Nothing. Actually, you get one Sunday a month free.
Okay.
And you get...
Oh, every day. So weekends included.
Yeah.
Oh.
So hang on. So it's 40 hours a week.
Jeez.
Of work. Because
35. Yeah. 35.
Except for that 1 week where you get 30.
Sunday, only 30 hours that week.
Yeah.
The rest of the day is yours though. You can do whatever you want the rest of the day. It's only 5 hours each day. Then
like other jobs.
Yeah, but it's like only 5 hours a day, not like eight or nine hours like most other jobs.
But also weekends though, so you just cancel down.
Oh no, you get most of the day.
And you can choose your own hours with the raccoon?
Yeah.
And you're top chef.
Top chef.
You could probably work only a couple of days a week then. You only have to worry about...
You make good money.
Yeah.
You do what you want. You like run a restaurant maybe. But like you have to walk around with shit all over your neck and hair. And everyone knows that. And you're like, man, that's that Radagast looking fucking guy.
You have to... Every time you're in the kitchen, you have the raccoon on you.
Mm. Yeah.
So you don't have to hide it at least.
But even if you go out for dinner.
You don't have to hide the raccoon, but...
So if you go out for dinner...
Yeah.
He's not on your head.
Raccoon's there, shitting. Raccoon doesn't leave.
Ever. In bed, outside.
No, at home, he might go and the raccoon wants to be comfortable, so he'll go on his little bed at sleep time, but that's it.
Oh, wow. So all your waking hours have a raccoon. So you must get a really...
And if he needs to shit, he goes back to your head and then back to bed.
So you might get woken up in the middle of the night by a raccoon taking a dump on you.
Yeah, and that's just normal. And your bed's like soiled, like always, because like you're rolling around trying to sleep. Like you can't avoid that, and that's just that.
Okay.
So according to Bing, raccoons live between 2 and 3 years. So is it a new raccoon every 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, you get
years?
A new raccoonie.
Right. And is he equally good
they
each time?
They all want to fucking shit on your neck and nape.
So is it a generation after generation of raccoons taking their turns, taking
dumps. It's like a family tradition, like a family thing. They're carrying on the torch for the rest of their family.
Okay.
They're just as good chefs? Yeah, they're just as good chefs. You don't become shit at chefing. And everyone knows you're a good chef just because of the raccoon, though.
I guess a lot of it, for me, depends on the consistency and, like, smell, etc. of the poop. Like, if it's, like, bird poop...
It's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like, you notice it.
Yeah.
You definitely notice it. We're going to ignore all like the health code violations that come with that, working in a kitchen and
everyone turns
just covered,
blind
like
eye.
The back of your head's covered in shit all the time. So what's your answers, fellas?
I'm going to go the raccoon covered in shit, yeah.
And you're just going to live with the shit everywhere, stinks all the time?
I'm changing my mind, actually. No, I'll go the tax man. Because that's a livable wage, but it's like kind of maybe good work-life balance almost. I know you don't have a day off, but it's only five hours a day.
Yeah.
So, you know...
I think it is a decent enough work-life balance. Well, it's not great, but it's not terrible either.
Yeah, but you can do things with the rest of your life. You don't have to make it about work.
It's, yeah, exactly. You do get your day.
What if you're like writing a memoir, like writing a book or something, and then...
I'm listening.
And then you... It gets really successful. You can't earn money from it.
No, you can still be famous for it, though.
Okay.
But you can't get the money.
And if you become famous and you go to a lot of fancy parties, you have famous rich friends, you can have them pay for things for you.
No, the system knows if you're getting loopholes. There's no loopholes here. Your heart explodes. If there's a loophole, nah, you're done.
So there's
no
way.
If it's an accidental thing, okay, you don't explode. The system just knows. But... if you're purposely exploiting loopholes, boom.
I guess what you could do is go live somewhere where the cost of living is really, really low.
Yeah, you can live wherever you want. You can do this remotely if you like.
Go live in Antarctica or whatever.
If you want.
I think the cost of living there is pretty high, though.
And do you still get your 1,000 even if you do a bad job?
No, you're good at taxes. You have to do the taxes.
But can you be lazy and still like put your hours in and do just kind of a shitty job?
Nah, you do
fuck
good.
Around
you
a
do
bit.
Good at the job. If you do a bad job, your heart explodes.
I think I'd have to choose...
You can get married and have kids and stuff still. That's fine.
Yeah.
So you live in a house and your partner pays for half of that house.
Yeah.
That's fine. But if they pay for more than half...
No. Like, that's fine.
Immediately.
That's fine. Yeah, like, you're living in a household together. All you've got to contribute is your $1,000 a week. They can have whatever job they want. It's probably just going to be a
basic.
So
if you marry a billionaire who pays for...
If you married a billionaire, if you were good enough to marry a billionaire, yeah, you're rich.
That's not a loophole for some reason.
That's not a loophole. That's like joint earnings. That's fine.
Absolutely. That's the way to go then.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then for
but
sure.
I'm just going to get super jacked. Super jacked.
And you're
going
to marry a billionaire. If you marry into money, that's fine.
Yeah. Done.
I think
I'm going
to
do it.
I'd find some way to fix the raccoon poop thing. Like, find as many ways to make it as manageable as possible. Because I just wouldn't want to work 7 days a week every week. You never
every
get a day
Sunday
off.
Free.
Still not very good.
That's pretty good.
At least you get to live a life of luxury and fame and kind of being really interesting and, yeah.
But also a lot of people talking behind your back. Like, that's the guy with shit all through his hair all the time. How does he live like that?
I think you could make it a trend. You could make it, like, you could kind of advertise some sort of fertilization health properties. Get other people doing it, and then
make sure you're feeding him like nothing but goja berries or something. Yeah.
Can we choose what we feed him?
That doesn't matter.
Okay. I put him on a juice cleanse diet.
But it is up.
That sounds like some really acid diarrhea shit.
It is up to the raccoon whether they want to accept it because they have their own free thinking mind. They can.
Can I get him constipated?
Is it like a super smart raccoon?
Well, yeah. In this situation, yeah, they're super smart. That just goes without saying.
So can we deprive them of all food except for just peanut butter?
They eat what they want. They're a person, basically, but a raccoon.
Yeah. They're real people, kind of.
That's right. That's what they shit on you because they're fucking pissed off. They're
Why are
shitting
they so
on
angry?
You just because. They just want to piss
sick of being
shit on
cat.
Your fucking hair and neck.
Because he likes to fuck with you. You said that.
That's right. They just want to fuck. They just want to mess you up.
And cook great dishes.
Yeah.
There are two things I like to do.
That's their family. That's what their whole family stands for and they have for generations.
Cook meals and shit on hair.
So they keep
done with cooking.
Yeah, and they keep pumping out kids to make sure that they've got the lineage intact. So the next shitter is ready to go.
Yeah, well, I do the chefing because somebody's got to do it.
Well, someone's got to do it.
Otherwise, these raccoons have no home. They're without a job, without a source of...
Oh, they probably adapt. They're super smart, remember?
They start their own, like, raccoon-based restaurant without any humans.
Yeah. They should just do that for
So we're a completely unnecessary middleman.
No one would eat that, though, would they?
That's
probably probably the whole issue with
that's
it.
That's it. You got that. Great segment, fellas. On to the next one. This is the M. Night Shyamalan remix. And this is where we come up with an alternate ending of the film and usually put a bit of a twist. Sam, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. So mine is that Jobu Tupaki / Joy is being lured away from the black hole bagel by her mother, as it is in the actual movie. And her mother's winning her over, bringing her out. But then Joy says, "I wish I could come with you, but it's not up to me." And she reveals, she takes off this elaborate hat she has on, and she actually has her own raccoon, Tui, who's the one who's actually pulling...
Jesus!
Who's actually behind the scenes, pulling all the shots.
Wow.
Yeah. I do have an alternate one, if it's not to
our
liking.
Thank God, yes, do that.
Everyone enters the bagel, and we pan out, and then we see Joy deleting a game of The Sims, where she had been trying out alternate versions of her mother to fantasize about different scenarios where she actually feels accepted by her. And so she has all these different save files. Basically it's Joy who... This whole thing has been Joy trying to envisage a version of her mother who accepts her. And that's all these different versions of reality.
That's nifty. Hayden, are you up?
I'll do one. Yeah, all right. So at the end, they're gathered around in the taxation office. Evelyn is kind of observing around. But then actually she notices... in the corner, the end of a camera. And she's like, why is there cameras? A wall next to the room comes down and she sees not only a camera crew, but also a bunch of velociraptors breaking through the wall. And it turns into this weird Truman Show style / Jurassic Park crossover. And the family gets systematically chased and eaten by various dinosaurs, and it turns out they're actually characters on a TV show, but they've been followed the whole time through this crazy adventure, and they've been all this CGI and all the crazy stuff's been planted there for them, including the velociraptors, which are real. They're real velociraptors, and all of them die except for Joy. That's what happens.
Why does everyone die?
Because they get killed by velociraptors.
Did you hear the part where he said the velociraptors?
Yeah,
the
I feel like every week or every second week you weave dinosaurs in. Is that just something...
Dinosaurs?
Yeah.
What was the last dinosaur?
You love talking about dinosaurs, I think.
So I'm not really sure what the point of that was, but essentially it's Truman Show / Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Zach, have you done yours?
Here's mine. It turns out that the bagel wasn't a meaningless void where nothing matters at all. It's actually a place that gives you your dream life up front, no questions asked, no strings attached. It's a simulation and you aren't on Earth anymore, but what does that matter? You got everything you ever wanted. So the ending follows the arrival of that one guy. I think maybe there was two guys, but... the one guy on the left who gets sucked into the bagel at the end. It follows him as he like wakes up. Yeah, he wakes up, he's like looking around, he's like, oh, what the fuck? What happened? Where am I? And he's in his like 50 mil mansion by the beach, and he's all the walls are adorned with his like platinum albums because he always wanted to be like a rapper. And this one he made it and he's like the best guy ever. And his wife comes in, gives him a kiss on the cheek, and then his kids come in, they're like, fuck yeah, dad, hey, how's it going? they got like the best life going. And they're all just killing life. Like, their kids are just doing great.
Question. Would that be satisfying to walk in at the end of your success? Or would it be better to, like, actually experience
it? Doesn't matter. He's got all the memories.
Yeah, okay.
They come. The memories get transferred
it's kind
to
of
him.
Like, okay.
For, as far as he's concerned, it has happened. He has experienced it all. All
right.
And then he's in his, like, absolute prime when he gets there.
He's ripped.
He's ripped.
He's absolutely jacked.
If he wants to be ripped, he's ripped. Like, you just think it, and it's done. Well, he doesn't think it because it's already, like, taken from his mind. It's already done.
So does he
he's get... He's probably ripped.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you be?
Is this bagel itself, like, a sentient thing? Or is it...
No, not really.
Did anybody create the bagel, or what's...
Just happened.
Just happened, yeah.
Just a freak accident.
One of those natural phenomena.
But they all just take it to be, like, something, like, as it is in the movie. Like, this is, like, a black hole, end of the world, nothing's in there.
Mm.
But it's actually the opposite, the exact opposite.
Okay, and so they're not aware, they're aware that it's all an illusion, though? Like, that the other people in there aren't real? Or are they real? Are they real?
It's real enough. Like, it doesn't matter. It's real.
It's just is it an alternative universe?
Yeah.
No.
So it's just,
you could have simplified it by saying,
so if you say
yeah.
it's a simulation and the people
it's
aren't real.
It's a simulation.
So the people aren't real.
Yeah, okay.
It's a simulation of an alternate universe.
But then...
Yeah, that changes
Do they
things.
Ever find out whether it's a simulation or not?
Not really.
They don't ever discover that it's a simulation.
Fine, it's an alternate...
Oh, good.
...reality. Because
yeah.
that's more thematic.
That's satisfying.
Yeah.
Because
we watched a movie where they had alternate realities.
I'm not
simulation.
Then
you
just,
said
like,
earlier,
introducing yeah.
Yeah. When we watched The Matrix, you can talk about simulations.
Yeah, it sends them to an alternate, like, their peak reality.
Yeah, and they have cum gutters.
If they want them.
Yeah, and everyone does.
Tell me you got that.
Look at you.
She needs to go for a WA.
I know.
We'll do it. I'm going to do that. I'll do that. Do you guys want to come?
A wank?
Do you guys want to come to the
every
dog park?
Yeah, if you go to John Wick with us.
If at least it's on the way to John Wick.
Yes.
Everything's a negotiation with you at the moment.
What else was it?
Last night you were like, oh, we can do the podcast tomorrow if Kirby joins.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, I guess I do do that. Yeah.
No, because that's me working towards a scenario where everyone wins.
I mean, it is you communicating your desires, which I respect.
Look at that.
I mean, you don't know it.
Putting a positive spin on my negotiations. No one ever does that.
Yeah.
Tell me you got that.
Good segment, guys. Next one is called Well Sean's Classic Blunders. In this segment, we're going to talk about what mistakes a character made, what mistake a director made, what was a blunder.
So mine was that they made the movie too pristine, therefore making it their magnum opus, and now they're screwed because their next film can never live up to the level of this one. It had comedy, action, drama, all done well, and now they've shot themselves in the foot, so...
That's a good one.
Never, yeah. Never win 7 Oscars. That's what.
Yeah.
That's how I, when I ever make a film, I always think, I really hope I don't win 7 Oscars.
Yeah, yeah. So the correct way to do things is to don't aim that high.
At least win one Oscar, and you can build up from that. You've got 7 movies then to top.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do pretty well, but never exceed expectations.
Yeah, exactly. Because then it looks like you're on a downward trajectory, and that's sad.
Your career's... Yeah, so their career is going down.
If they only win, Oscars for their next movie, that's going to be pitiful.
That's embarrassing for them.
Yeah.
They really fucked themselves
up. They really did. Nobody talks to people who only win 3 Oscars.
I wouldn't even look at them in the street.
Yeah.
If they were dying. Hayden, give us your blunder.
My wacky blunder is, in the Sausage Finger universe, the design of all the stuff in that universe is still designed for people with human fingers. So it's like in the office, there's like staplers and pens and stuff. It's like they would never be able to use those.
That's
I did think about this, but I never chalked it down as a blunder. I don't know why. Because what stood out to me about that was when Jamie Lee Curtis is taking out her bag, she picks it up with her foot and starts hopping out.
Yeah.
It's just a regular suitcase with a handle that pops up, and then you got to wheel it along the floor.
It's like they would never.
She hooks it with her foot, and then that would have changed. And I thought in the moment that's fucking dumb. That would change everything in this universe.
It'd all be straps or it'd be dangling off your fingers so many noodle finger salesmen.
That's a blunder, yeah. That's
a big
noodle salesman would be the oldest profession in that world.
Oh, yeah.
And the most prestigious.
Everything would be made out of noodles.
Lucrative.
Yeah.
Tell me you got that.
So that's all we've got time for. Thanks for listening to the Tell Me You Got That podcast. The next episode we are doing is coming out very soon. It's going to be John Carpenter's The Thing, and we're going to have a very, very special guest by the initials of S&K, and it's not Santa Claus. So I've been Hayden.
I've been Zach.
I was Sam.
And this is the Tell Me You Got That podcast. See ya.
Bye.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love you.
Tell me you got that.